Today we celebrate our beloved Pastor Ronnie. Romans 10:15 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news to us." Now, I personally don't know how beautiful your feet are. I'm thankful for that. I'm sure your wife can attest. But the word says, how beautiful are your feet. The Message Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "We ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love." So today, we take this opportunity to honor and overwhelm you with our love for you and the gift that you share with us. We appreciate you. We appreciate your wife for standing alongside you. May we as the congregation be the help that you need to fulfill the vision God has for this church. We love you. Amen. Surprised you, didn't I? Thank you.
See, I watch the older. I watch the elderly. So I turn this way and speak to the pastor. So, Pastor, we have another speaker, Mr. Brother Robert.
Morning, everybody. Miss Sakura stole my scripture, so. So. You're right, Angie. Will you? You don't mind, do you? Will you? It looked like you kind of do. I don't know. Listen, what I want to say to you is so simple and it's so plain. My pastor, that man right there, he is who he says he is. He is, and I know this in a couple of different ways. Now, we have a rule here, the men at Rhema. We don't really allow Pastor Ronnie to do any work, physical work, physical labor. Pastor Ronnie sometimes likes to do a little physical labor. So I recall one time a while ago, a couple of years maybe, we had a project outside, you know, and Pastor Ronnie had purchased for us a beautiful mower, a lawnmower. Now listen, ladies, we sit around and listen to you guys talk about y'all stuff, so take about 3 minutes. I'm going to tell you about Husqvarna lawnmower, you know, because it's top of the line, I'm telling you, you know. This thing has got a choke, man, like you wouldn't believe. You shoot, you move it over, broop. Bam, it's gone, you know, that's it. Ain't no, not with that Husqvarna. No. You put it, Pastor, you can pull that thing if you want to. You better be ready to cut some grass. So we go along and, you know, everything, and Pastor Ronnie was just standing there. He just looking, you know, like, man. He say, Bro Pittman, let me make one pass, man. Can I just make one pass? So I looked at my daddy, you know, because he told me, hey, Pastor Ronnie don't do no work, man, you know. So imagine my dilemma, you know. I got my pastor over here asking me to do something that we don't allow him to do, and then my daddy over there on that side having told me one thing I better not do. So we got together, Pastor said, look, man, just let me make one pass, you know. I said, all right, man, come on, you know. He get on the mower. that he bought for us to do work because we don't allow our pastor to work. And he just, he came on down, you know, he looked so, hey. He said, wow, man, yeah. I said, yeah, wow. Now my daddy coming, that's it. That's all, Pastor, that's all. But he always told us, hey, man, I will work because he is who he says he is. Not too long ago, on my job, I work security for Ameren. And so I was working with a man, one of their corporate investigators. And I go way out to check on the electrical substations and, you know, other little things like that. So here's this guy. He's from East St. Louis, too. I didn't know that. I didn't know this at all. Now, this is about God, though. This is about how God can tell you who's who and who isn't. So I don't know how many of you know, but Pastor Ronnie is part of a fraternal organization, Kappa Alpha Psi. Did I get that right, Pastor? Okay. And so me and this man, this corporate investigator for Ameren Electric, began to talk. And one of his questions to me was, where do you go to church? Because I told him anything we need to do ever is fine. I'm open. Except Sundays, because, you know, church. And he said, okay, well, you go to church. And I thought that was a good start. So I told him, and then we began to talk, and, you know, God brought it all around. And he said, wait a minute, what's your pastor's name? And I told him our pastor's name. And come to find out that these fellows were part of the same fraternal organization. So he told me a little bit about it. I remained quiet. And he looked at me. He said, hey, man, let me tell you something, Pittman. What we do and what your pastor do are not the same things. Let me make sure you understand that. What we do and what your pastor does are not the same things. He said, what he does for our organization is what he does at your church. He provides ministerial services. He counsels members who need it. Or sometimes he's just here to bring us a word. But we'd like to have somebody as part of our organization who can provide those services. So that's why your pastor is a Kappa. He's a Kappa pastor. Because that man is who he says he is. And while I go and sit down to my seat, before I do, Pastor Ronnie gave this sermon about a movie that I just love. It's called 300. Do y'all know it? It's not a Christian film per se, but you've seen it, right? Come on now. I know y'all just be in the Bible and everything all day. But in case you just, while you was going to TBN, you passed by 300, you know, Pastor Ronnie made a sermon about it, a quite good one. And I enjoyed it because I really, really liked that movie. Last night, it was on, and I watched it. But I got to see what that film was really about. It's about the coming of Christ and the two sides that were now coming into power. All that 300 fighting that they were doing was for the coming Christ. And then, you know, you got the Prince of Persia on this side and the evil hordes and all of that. But the, what was it, the Trojans? Not the Trojans, the Spartans. Thank you. The Spartans, you know, of Greece, you know, that's where our early churches were, you know, Corinth, Book of Corinthians, you know, Philippi, the Book of Philippians, you know. Pastor was preaching about a movie because he was giving us a glimpse of the early Jesus in our story. Not because he wanted to talk about a popular movie. Why would he do that? Because he is who he says he is. And I've never seen anything differently. Pastor, happy pastor, what is it? The pastor celebrate, yeah, appreciation. We appreciate you every day, so we don't make no too much difference of it. So I love you, man. I do. All right.
Okay, Pastor. Now they got me to do the hard part. So, you know, I'm going to do this real quick. The last song y'all sung before the offering, did y'all see Pastor? And he was singing, his throat got dry. Because he was trying to, he stretched his neck. So he went, and, Pastor went and got a mint, and he was going to town on this. I'm sorry. So, come on up. We know that spiritual leaders and pastors, they deserve to be encouraged. They deserve support. So I got one more scripture before I sit down. Number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Pastor, thank you for your faithfulness. And this is yours.
Thank you.
All right, can I give you a
thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I would say this. It is true what you all have said about appreciation. You all appreciate me every day. That honestly, I forgot that this month was Pastor's Appreciation because I feel appreciated every time. So I really forgot that this was appreciation. And when I heard all of the James Cleveland songs, I said, okay, somebody wants something that they want me to approve. And they trying to wine and dine me with these James Cleveland, because they know James Cleveland, his songs, you know, they touch me. And that's why I was over there with that peppermint, because I was going to town and my throat got dry, so... Because, I mean, James Cleveland, I cut up. But so I was thinking, I said, okay, what do they want? What haven't I, I'm just trying to go through my, and then I said, oh, Pastor Appreciation. And I thought about that. Because them two right there, you got to watch them. They'll throw it at me in a minute. I'm just kidding. But I'm thankful. to everything that's been said, Minister Corbett, God bless you. Thank you for those wonderful words that you have expressed. I'm glad that it was on the script, but you're not as bad as people say, but you did good. All in love. Brother Pittman, thank you for those words. And regardless of where I am or what I'm doing, what you see is the way that I am. I'm like that on my job. It doesn't change. You know, I don't put on my Sunday morning suit and come to church. You know, I'm living this lifestyle for real. So no matter where I am, I'm living for Christ. So the same report you would get no matter who you speak with, because it's going to be the same thing. So it's good to know, and you never know who knows who. Amen. I never knew that Brother Pittman knew this brother or what have you. You know, and I'm going to say this, you know, not to really touch on it a lot, but, you know, people, when they think about a fraternity, they think of bad things, because you get stereotyped as to what you see on TV and what people tell you about it, with the parties and the drinking and all of this lavish stuff that they do. But the fraternity does a lot of things in the community. Things that you have no idea that they do. We're talking about raising money for scholarships, raising money for St. Jude. They do back-to-school fairs to help kids with school supplies. There's a lot of things that they do in the community, but we get stereotyped as to, I don't like fraternities, only because of what you see on TV or what somebody else has done. But the fraternity is a good organization to be a part of. Again, you're going to have people that's going to do what they're going to do, but you don't have to be a part of that. It's the same as in the house of prayer. You know, people, the devil comes to church too. So do they mean that we act like the devil? No. We continue to act like Christ, and we continue to be like him. So what I'm saying is, no matter where you may find yourself, you're going to always have somebody that's going to infiltrate and use it for the wrong purpose, the wrong reason. So that's just anywhere you go. Even if you start your own organization, the devil going to try to get in there. So just so you know, and then folks start talking about your organization. So I'm just saying to you that I'm thankful for the words of encouragement. Thanks for the appreciation, the gift. I see a cake pan there. I almost called for Brother Moore to do two songs while I go in the back and check what's underneath that cake pan. Oh, he's good for two. I know he got it in him. Oh, he's good for two. Now three, that'd be pushing it. You know, and then, you know, get a little instrumentals going on while I see what's underneath that cake pan. And then I come back out and see if there's a word. Amen. 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 We do have a word from heaven on this morning. Amen. If you stand. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 15. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Amen. I see one person read ahead. It's always one. There's probably some mothers, they just ain't said nothing. Verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen for the reading of our scripture this morning. I mean, I'm sure we heard the title oftentimes, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. When I hear that title, the first thing that comes to my mind is my cousin, Nidra, singing this song. She has a beautiful voice, and I mean, she sings very effortlessly, but what comes out is just really beautiful harmony that comes out of her. It was just a beautiful voice. So the whole time I was studying this message, I kept hearing her sing and sing and sing. And it got into my spirit, her voice, just singing this song. Just real quick here, just Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He was a good king, the son of Asa. During his reign, there was peace and prosperity because Jehoshaphat was a man of the book. More than anything, he wanted to do what God said. God honored him for that commitment and made him great. God blessed Jehoshaphat because he did God's will. Sometimes when us as believers, when we do God's will and when we do what God say do, God blesses us. And not only that, it's one of those things that you can't help but show it. You understand what I'm saying? That when God, when you are doing the work of the Lord, it's going to show up. Because what you do secretly, God will bless you openly. And then when that happens, folks start getting jealous. And folks start getting mad because you're being blessed by being obedient to what God say do. And so sometimes you have enemies that have some stuff that is lingering in their mind. Some stuff that happened long time ago. But they want to bring it to the forefront. And now they want to come at you because folks don't like to see you being blessed by God. Folks don't like to see the hand of the Lord on your life. They don't want to see God's finger directing you. They want to cause problems. They want you to be miserable. That's the enemy of God. Life can be difficult. Being a Christian in the non-Christian world possesses all kinds of problems for us. The world does not know Jesus. The world does not love him. The world does not understand why he came. You, on the other hand, do know Jesus. You do love him, and you do understand why he came. He came to save you from your sins and give you new life. He came to bring you peace and joy, life, peace and joy in the spirit. He came so you might have life more abundantly, to have fellowship with God. These things you already know. And you also know that though you are saved from sin and filled with the Spirit of God, life in this world is still not perfect. It is still difficult. The Christian is, in a sense, in a battle with the world, in case you didn't know that. And the world is at war with the saints of God. So the world offers this self-fulfillment and greed. The world wants to convert you into its paganism and to its ungodly devotion to the unholy. And if you don't conform, if you don't bend your knees to what they want you to do, then they come at you with everything that they got. So and then they begin to mock you. So the world, you need to understand, is against you. The devil is one who is at war with you. And in the battle, there are all sorts of struggles that we need to understand. As a Christian, What do you do when life is coming down hard on you? When there seems to be no way out? When it seems to be no relief in your life? Well, what you can do is you can turn your problem into an opportunity to praise God. And that opportunity is just a few steps away. When we look at the Second Chronicles chapter 20, it is the story of a man named Jehoshaphat who encountered a problem and was able to praise his way to victory. See, a man may do many things in a time of crisis. Some cover up, some give up, others panic. Still others deny that they even have a problem. Verse 3 reveals the key response. Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord. Everything turns on that fact that he had enough sense to inquire of God about his problem. Because he heard about the enemy was coming against him. So he made a decision, which was the decisive moment. It is not the crisis that destroys men. It's what we do or don't do when the crisis hits. No one can avoid a moment like this. You know, the first few moments, the first few hours, the first few days, the way you respond when you are back up against the wall, that's when you discover what you're made of. That's when you know what you got in you. This is why it's always important for products to be tested, because you want to know what you're putting out there. You want to know what's on that shelf. You want to know that it's been tested before you go and use it. So we have to understand that we're going to be tested. But it's what you do when you're tested. Jehoshaphat, he inquired of the Lord. See, Jehoshaphat, he encountered a problem. He had a problem. Jehoshaphat encountered a big problem. A great multitude of his enemy was preparing themselves for battle against him and his people. See, at first he didn't see a solution. Maybe you feel that way today. Life is a series of problem-solving opportunities. The problems you face will either defeat you or develop you, depending on how you respond to them. So it's up to you and how you respond. Not how I respond to your problem, but how you respond to your problem. Because I got my own problems. Most people fail to see how God wants to use problems for good in their lives. They react foolishly and resent their problems rather than pausing to consider what benefit the problem might bring. One thing we need to know is that trouble is all around us. Each and every one of us has some type of problem or trouble in our lives. We always think that we can solve them ourselves. In most cases, you know, you may be able to. But it begins to get deeper. Sometimes we tend to seek help from ministers, friends, or even pay a professional counselor to give us some advice. There is only one problem solver above all, and that is Jesus Christ, the one who will never fail you. Jehoshaphat, here's what else he did. Jehoshaphat established his purpose. One of the first things we need to do when we have problems is to establish a purpose. Jehoshaphat didn't turn to the Lord after he tried everything else like most of us do. He didn't do that. Most of us, we'll try all of this other stuff. And then once it gets really bad, I'm talking about stinking bad, then we want to inquire of the Lord. Jehoshaphat heard about his problem, and he immediately said, "Hold up, this is bigger than me. I need somebody big to handle this solution. I need somebody big to deal with this problem." So he immediately inquired of the Lord. He didn't try to do this himself. See, we can come boldly to God's throne of mercy, the same as Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat did something that by human standards makes no sense. He called a nationwide fast and asked the people to join him in Jerusalem for a prayer meeting. Now that sounds crazy, don't it? By all human standards. Common sense says, don't waste time. The enemy is coming on you. You ain't got time to be praying. Lord, you better be glad you got one of them long praying preachers or deacons or something, you know, that's saying a prayer for you. Jehoshaphat did a short prayer. Very short prayer. Jehoshaphat says, now is the time to pray. His prayer is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You can get it through verse 60 and verse 12. Jehoshaphat's heart was in the right place. This isn't a very long prayer, but it saved the nation. Sometimes we think we got to get up and say a long prayer. One thing, you know, just because we're up here for a long time, your prayer turned into a sermon. It's so long that all of a sudden all you needed to do was take a text. That's how long your prayer was. I'm going to tell you something. When you're in trouble, Lord, save me. It's a nice short prayer. That's all you need. You don't need to go in and say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all of this. You don't have to say all that. You need some help. Lord, help me. When you're drowning, you don't go through alone. You say, hey, help. You call on some help. You don't go through all this stuff of what you did in your life and how good you've been. No, if you're going down, you say, help me. Help. You can sometimes only one word, help. Everybody know what that means. That means to come to your attention. So Jehoshaphat had some sense. The enemy was coming. He didn't have time for a long prayer. He didn't have time. You know how sometimes they get warm. They just getting warmed up. You're like, you ain't done yet? And they didn't want to get the nerve to start squalling in their prayers. Are you kidding me? Man, just say the prayer and sit down. Verse 15. And see, when you want God to come help you, you want God to give you a quick answer. You want to give God a long prayer, but you don't want God to give you a long response or a delay in his response. Yeah, now you want that right now. It's like, come on now. But see, the answer came is verse 15. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. And I bet you Jehoshaphat was glad to hear that. See, the word came from a prophet. Listen to what I'm saying. Some of y'all don't want to hear from a prophet. But the word came from a prophet saying that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. That's what it said. And you want to hear that because you're like, oh, thank God I ain't got to fight this. I ain't got to get my hands dirty. I ain't got to do anything. Oh, yes, you do. See, sometimes we think we ain't got to do anything. But you still got to march. You still got to do what God said do. Sometimes all God wants you to do is just show up. And take your position. But you don't have to fight. Because he said the battle is not yours. It's mine. See, God going to protect his word. He going to protect his people. See, a lot of times we just need to just show up. See, this is the hard thing for us to do. We don't want to show up for battle, and we ain't even fighting the battle. Jehoshaphat examined his past. Sometimes you got to go down memory lane, and you got to find out how good the Lord has been to you. Sometimes you just got to just go down memory lane just a little bit. When you encounter a problem, it is helpful to look back over your shoulder and see what God has did for you in your past. That's what Jehoshaphat did. God did not save you to abandon you. His name is I am, not I was. Aren't you glad we're not serving that type of God? We serve a God that says I am, not I was. If you have seen him work in your life in the past, believe he will do the same thing in your present and in your future. He's able to bring something good out of every circumstances in your life. That's why you got to pause for a moment and find out, what is God trying to get you to learn out of this? What is God doing in my life? There must be a promotion on the way for me that I got to go through this. There's some type of struggle that you got to go through it in order to get to where God wants you to be. Just like I can't stand before you right now if I hadn't been through something. Now I can tell you, you don't want no nurse teaching you. You're in nursing school, you don't want nobody teaching you who have never been a nurse before. Who don't know anything about nursing. Imagine somebody don't know anything about nursing. They get in front of you, they want to teach you how to be a nurse. How is that possible? They don't know anything. So in other words, you need a nurse who's been through it, who's been in a trauma unit, who's been in the ER, who's been in the ICU, who's been doing all these things. You need somebody who's been there, done that, to be able to teach you and help you. In other words, I'm talking about somebody who's got a resume, who got some experience down. So it's helpful in our battles to remember God's track record. God has proven himself in each of our lives. So I need to remember what God has done for me in my life. You got to make it personal. Stop always looking at somebody else, but you got to make it personal. What God has done for me in my life. So while I learned of some stories about what happened in the Bible, it's important to look back and see his faithfulness of what he's done to me. What he has done in my life, made it personal, because God is just not the God of the Bible. He's the God of our lives as well. He's still alive. David went against Goliath, not because he was he felt strong one day, but he remembered God was with him. The very same God who gave him strength when he stood eye to eye with a bear. The same God who showed up when he crossed paths with a lion. David trust needed to be in the right place in God. So once he established, he stepped out knowing that, hey, hold up now. I ain't afraid of Goliath. I remember what God did for me. I remember when I came eyeball to eyeball with a bear. I remember that God was with me then. And then a lion crossed my path. I remember God was with me then. So here it is. I'm facing Goliath. He had to go down memory lane and say, I know that God was with me then. I know that God is going to be with me now. So sometimes you got to go down memory lane a little bit and remember how God brought you out. Remember what God done for you. Don't forget about what the Lord has done for you in your life. He's doing something for you right now that you don't even know it. You shouldn't even feel it right now, because God is blessing you right where you are. So what I'm trying to say is that God is ready to move on your behalf. Jehoshaphat expressed his praise. God is ready to move on your behalf in victory, but he will not do one thing until you praise him. Prayer infuses us with the energy of God and confuses the enemies of God. If you know your problem is caused by the enemy, then all you got to do is praise God. If the enemy is messing with you, I dare you to praise God. Because what happens is the enemy is messing with you, but when you start praising God, it makes the enemy go like, hold up, I'm messing with them, but they still praising God in spite of what I'm doing to them. Come on now, that's what praise do. In spite of your situation, in spite of your problem, you can still say, Lord, I thank you. here because I know I'm getting something out of this. Let me say this. When you attack problems God's way, I'm not talking about your way, because your way is that clown suit that you bring to work with you. Oh yeah, this is not me leaving. This is me carrying the clown suit. This is what some of y'all do. But I'm saying leave that at home. Matter of fact, get rid of it. Because when you do it your way, you're going to mess it up. But when you attack a problem God's way, we will enjoy his provision. See, this is what happened. Confusion came into the camp of the enemy as a result of their praises to God. Why? Why did confusion come? Because the devil is confusion. Confusion came, and what happened was they did it God's way. Imagine God said, this is what I want y'all to do. I want you to put the choir, get some instruments going, and start praising me. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to win this battle. In other words, God's saying, turn up the music a little bit. I need to hear some praises being lifted up. Because the Bible says that if praises go up, blessings come down. So you got to start praising God if you want some blessings to come down. We even seen a song that said, let some drop. Well, you got to open up your mouth if you want something to drop. If the devil attacks you and you praise God, then you're going to find that the devil becomes God's messenger boy to bring you riches. See, when we praise God, embrace God's promises and stand upon them, that he always brings victory. So don't wait until afterwards. Don't wait to praise God until after you get what you want. Everything is fixed. Now I can praise God. Now I can shout. Now we can do our dance because everything is in order. No, you have to give God praise and then the breakthrough will come. Praise precedes the victory. And negative thoughts limit what God can do. Sometimes y'all need to understand, God's credit is good. I checked it. I'm telling you, it is good. You talking about MasterCard. God's credit is real good. So much good that you can praise him before in advance. In other words, I'm saying, give him some advanced praise. Give him some advanced shout in your life. Why? Because I guarantee you that God will make good on it. How many of you will give me a blank check? He gave a blank check and said, I am filling the blanks. In other words, whatever you need. Prayer should not be a complaining session. You know, folks get to praying, you're like, I thought we were praying. Folks start complaining about stuff. You're like, you ain't praying? Stop. Somebody else started. He said, I'm going to take over. The Spirit needs you to take over. Because what they praying, they complaining over there. They got some problems. God is not moved by our problems. He moved by our faith. Praise is faith at work. When you praise, God can take what was meant for your harm and use it to advance you. Y'all have folks that ever done something to you? And God can take that and say, because I'm going to tell you this. You can never confuse or trick God. God has even calculated the stupid stuff that people do. And he has fixed that into his equation. That's why when stupid stuff happened, God can say that's right in my plan because I knew this stupid stuff was going to happen on this date. That's why I want you to stand on my promises because I'm going to bless you anyhow because I knew that this stupid person was going to do something real stupid. This is why you stand on God's promises, because the stupid stuff is already in the budget. Y'all follow what I'm saying? The stupid stuff that people do is in God's budget. God has calculated the stupid stuff to fit his plan. That's why we can't fool God. When you praise, God can take what is meant to harm you and advance you. Praise activates God's power. Nothing gets God's attention more than when you should be discouraged, but you have a song in your spirit. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if you can't sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It really doesn't matter if you're off key. As long as you open up your mouth and praise God, God is saying, I like it anyhow. In order for you to live in victory, you need to know how to praise while in pain. Even though you're hurting, even though you don't feel your best, that's the sacrifice of praise. In the tough times, you need to just turn up your praise. When you praise, chains are broken, doors are open, angels go to work for you. Victory is coming your way because you are praising God anyhow. So shake off the self-pity. You know, some folks want to invite you to their little pity party. You ever call somebody and they feel real dry? Like, oh, God, I should have called today. You want to hang up the phone. And nowadays, you know, your phone get disconnected any kind of way. You can be traveling. Man, we lost connection. I ain't want to hear that. I ain't want to be invited to that pity party. I ain't accepting that invitation. Y'all know I ain't the only one. Shake it off. Turn up the praise. You can praise your way to victory. Psalms 149 says, when we have high praises of God coming out of our mouth, God will go to war against our enemies. High praises mean to praise God with enthusiasm. Be excited about what he's done. The shout of praise activates God's power. It blows my mind how many folks come into the house of God week after week and leave the same way they came in. Some folks treat the church just like they go on to their job. I'm just saying, that's the way it looks. They just show up and put in their time and then complain about everything that's going on, but do nothing to help the matter. It seems like you ought to get tired of the same old thing. You ought to get tired of living from day to day with any joy, peace, and happiness in your life. You ought to get tired of the same old, same old. You ought to get tired of being down and out, going through, going under, going backwards. You ought to be tired of coming in here week after week and leaving the same way you came in. You ought to be a new person in Christ Jesus when you leave out of here. You're leaving here with the same old problems, leaving here with the same old heartaches, leaving here with the same old heartbreaks and heartaches, and leaving here with the same old letdowns, and leaving here with the same old setbacks. But let me suggest to you that part of the problem is your response to what life brings you, how it treats you. Part of your problem is your reaction to life. Part of your problem is that you won't praise God in spite of. We all know the saying that when praises go up, blessings come down. You got to open up your mouth and praise God if you want some blessings to come down. This is what praise would do. This is what praise would do. This is why you got to look back and see. Praise can cause walls to fall down. All you got to do is ask Joshua. Go in the book of Joshua. He'll tell you today that praises will make walls come down. Praises can stop the fury of the fiery furnace. Ask the Hebrew boys. They said, look, King, we're not careful in what we say. Go ahead and do what you got to do, because whatever you're going to do, we still going to praise God. It really doesn't matter to us what you're going to do or what your decision is. We know what God's decision is. Praise will keep you from things that people don't know they will keep you from, but you got to open up your mouth and praise God. Praise can quench the appetite of a lion. Go in Daniel and ask Daniel. He'll tell you, man, I was thrown in the lion's den, but they didn't eat me. Why? Because I was still praising God inside the lion's den. You can still praise God inside of your problems, even though you are miserable and down and out, but God can still deliver you. Praise can change the atmosphere. Y'all don't know that, do you? When you start praising, things start changing. Ask the followers of Jesus Christ. Ask the praise team that praises this morning. When you start praising God, God will start to put things into effect. Y'all ever seen the atmosphere shift? You know, when you're outside looking, you can say, well, man, here comes a storm. I see a storm coming this way. Man, the atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is starting to twist and starting to turn. I'm seeing the forecast. Well, you can do that in the spirit. Because when you start praising God in the spirit, you can see the forecast changing. You can see things starting to develop. You can see things starting to work out for your good. You can see things starting to work out on your behalf. You don't have to open up your mouth to say something to that boss like you really want to say something to him. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is open up your mouth and praise God. That's when you should open up your mouth to and praise God for your situation. Praise God, because there's a blessing that's coming out of what you're going through. See, when we praise, we partner with God to influence and transform the atmosphere. Watch this. In Genesis, we read of how the earth atmosphere was dark and empty. When God spoke, "Let there be," word, that atmosphere was transformed. Light came and life came. So the word "let" went into action. God's word "let" went out there. God said, "Let it be," so it's going to be. You got to know that when God's word "let" go out, it's going to go out and do what it said it's going to do. If God say he's going to heal you, you got to believe that he's going to do it. Because when he said, "Let her be healed," let him be healed. Let the situation pass. The word "let" is going up there and turn stuff up. When we speak in agreement with God is speaking, create power, and it releases the fulfillment of his plan. See, when we are in agreement with God's word, things start to change and the atmosphere starts to work according to God's plan. All you got to do is stand on his promises. So what I'm trying to say is that there is power in your praise. So all you got to do is praise your way through. That's how you get the victory. Jehoshaphat knew enough to say, "I'm going to inquire of the Lord." And the Lord said, "Put the choir before the army. I want y'all to praise me first." And you know, when they got to praising God, confusion came. And guess what? They were able to pick up all of the spoil, all of the goods of the enemy. Why? Because they did what God said do. Even the greatest of men of God sometimes got discouraged, like King David was a great psalmist. Don't let this happen to you. You know, when we sometimes get discouraged and we begin to speak things that the devil wants you to speak, say things that the devil wants you to say, you know, and so we have to, David was a great psalmist, a great singer, and he usually sang beautiful praises to the Lord. Watch this. But one time before he was king, he was sure that Saul was going to kill him. And he actually said, "Someday I shall surely die at the hands of Saul." Thank God David never wrote a song saying that. Y'all follow me? Thank God he never wrote a song saying that. How could you sing that? David, he never died at the hands of Saul. So that was just the devil trying to discourage him. So if you let the devil get you down and use your mouth and you speak doubt and discouragement and his lies, you are preaching the devil's own doctrine. So when you start speaking against what God's word says, you are preaching the devil's doctrine. So I'm telling you, don't do it. If you want to be blessed, say you're going to be blessed. If you want God to heal you, say you healed. If you want to be delivered, say you delivered. Don't go around saying, oh, I'm still not delivered yet. I'm still feeling that God ain't did nothing for me yet. Oh, that ain't true. God has done enough for you. So we need to take a positive stand against the enemy and fight the devil and fight his doubts. The minute you feel discouraged, start praising the Lord. Start going on the attack. As long as you got a praise in your mouth, you can't complain about anything. As long as praise is coming off of your lips, you don't have no room to complain about anything. The enemy hates praise. He hates songs that praises the Lord, and he hates God's word most of all. So stay full of it. Y'all know how y'all like to use that word, but y'all using it a different way. I'm using it in the right way. I'm saying stay full of God's word. Y'all want to say stay full of that. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about staying full of God's word. All of us can experience God's power through praise. The devil, see, here's the thing. The devil doesn't pay attention to historic information. Because when he starts trouble, he overlooks that we run back to God. Whenever he starts a mess, I'm like, hold up. I'm going to tell my daddy on you. You got to have it in your mind. You got to have it in your soul that when the devil attacks you, he said, Lord, are you seeing this? Remember, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. We need to understand that this morning. Let me say this as I'm getting ready to close. Praise isn't like the caboose on a train that just follows what happens. That's what the caboose does. They just you don't even see the caboose no more on the train. But it just follows what is happening. But praise is more like an engine of a train that makes things happen. Praise is the one, if you look at the engine is pulling the train. And what I'm saying is your praise is pulling your situation to the Lord. Getting God's attention. Praise affects you. It affects the devil and it affects God. It touches everything in every part of your life. A lack of praise affects you in a negative way. You need to turn the devil loose in your life and stop letting him take hold of you. Some people come to church with the devil. Go home with the devil. Wake up with the devil. You go around and see you out there shopping with the devil. I mean, like, they got the devil with them all the time. Why don't you try letting him loose? Go, let go. Stop holding on to him. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Let me say this to you. I think about CPR. When somebody's checking to see if somebody's alive, the first thing they do, they want to check a pulse. They want to see if there's still a heartbeat. They want to see if the person is still alive. They want to see if this person is there still some life in the person. That's what praise is like. In the spiritual. Some people we need to check to see if you're still alive spiritually. Need to come and check your spiritual pulse to see if there's still life in you. Because we need to revive you. We need to put the word of God in you. You need to breathe. Let me tell you something. I like how God does things. Never really thought about this until I was studying my message. That I noticed that God loves to deal with dirt. Because that's how he made us. So he likes to get his hands dirty. In other words, I'm saying dirty in a good way. I'm saying he likes to shape and mold us. And so what God likes to do, see, a lot of times we think that we got to go and find something. We got to say, God, give me this or give me this. Everything you need is already inside of you. This is why we are dirt, because God has already put the seed inside of you. And I noticed this much. When you put seed in the ground, I know it will grow. And I know that once you put it inside of there, it's all in a matter of time for that seed to come up. So when God has put something inside of you, remember that you are dirt. You are dirt. So if you are dirt and there's a seed planted inside of you, when you hear God's word, that's going to water it. And what it's going to do is going to make it what? Grow. So you don't have no choice but to grow. Grow that very thing that God has planted inside of you. That's all you got to do. The disciples, the Lord told his disciples the night before his crucifixion, let not your heart be troubled. This wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. But yet we still have heart troubles. That's one of the leading causes of death in this world, is heart trouble. Yet most Christians today would think that this was insensitive and unreasonable. They would say that Jesus wasn't being understanding and compassionate. These disciples were about to see Jesus arrested and then flee in fear of their lives. They would see Jesus unjustly condemned and then crucified and buried. And he was telling them, let not your heart be troubled. Yet he said to be of good cheer. How is this possible? He said it's possible because he had overcome the world. At the time Jesus said that, he hadn't been crucified, much less resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. It was because of faith that the disciples were supposed to rejoice. He had promised that he would be resurrected and then reign. If they were in faith, they would rejoice, and so we would as well. We live in a negative world, a fallen world, where it seems that the ungodly are getting more and more prominent. So much so that we hear negative everywhere we go, and we have to make a decision, an effort, to be positive in a negative world. Praise is a great tool to help us achieve that thing. If someone were to get upset, we need to encourage them, praise your way through this. All you got to do is praise your way through this. Lift up your hands and just start thanking God, even though it looks bad. Even though your situation don't look good, you can still say, Lord, I thank you, because I know what you've done in my past and what you're able to do now, despite of what I've been through, despite of what I'm going through. You need to recall the things that God has done for you in your life. Know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all. Amen.